Here we go. It's WTC. It is episode number 45 of Week Talk Comics. This one is called Beers in the Patio, because that's what we're doing. We are outside, the four of us all together for the first time ever while recording instead of in different places, out of the basement. And we are going to be sitting here. This is going to be a different type of podcast. If you guys were hanging out with us and just hearing us and taking part in our conversation while we're having a beer, that's what this one would be. There'll be a little bit of background noise. There'll be a little bit of craziness. And there's going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun. We're going to open up, of course, by throwing off to the host to my left.
Brett?
That's him.
That's me.
Woo. Oh, I'm Mo, by the way.
I hadn't noticed.
The Crown Prince of Charisma.
Who's left?
Oh, Keith.
I'm also here.
And this guy.
Enjoying a Mickey's.
Enjoying a Mickey's.
And, fine beer.
Fine. This is a damn fine beer, and I love this little stubby bottle. I prefer the stubby bottle. It's comforting to me.
It would be phallic for you, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm a little big. But anyways, there we go. Like I say, this will be a completely different type of show. We're going to still have the news, though. Of course, the news is sponsored by Comicosity, the best website in all of the interweb. For comic-related stuff, the coolest, the high class of comic book geek. So don't be one. Go to them. Damn it. Keith, let's hit the weekly news and cover part of this.
Well, the big news on Comicosity is that the Comicosity Olympics are just about to wrap up. And great events. It's been a lot of fun. This episode is odd already. It feels very strange. everyone feet away from me. Staring at me as I talk.
Yes. Please give us the news.
Instead of being able to just put up my sheet and cover up the screen so I don't have to look at these guys while I'm talking.
Yeah, entertain us, monkey. Go.
I'm not used to getting this many words out when we're all in a group.
Perhaps you need more to drink before you
All right, well, news. I've got this one of the stranger news stories, because this may have already been confirmed and denied five or six more times before the episode actually goes up, and that is the rumor that Ben Affleck is going to direct.
Oh, yeah,
the
that was all over
movie.
Twitter.
Oh, yeah, both sides are all over Twitter.
Like, absolutely. I did a Google search right before we started, and literally every second story was, no, he's not, and opposing with, yes, he is. Apparently, he's going to have a meeting. He did say no, but he's going to hear them out, is the latest that I heard.
Hopefully cooler heads will prevail, and they'll choose to do the JLM movie with somebody who doesn't suck.
Well, it's funny because somebody was mentioning that to me today, and I said
was
to
it Chris?
The,
Not this no, Chris, the other
no,
Chris.
No, it was another gentleman at work, and we were talking about it, and he said that...
I know who that was.
No, nope, definitely
was it,
wasn't
was
him.
It Rick?
Nope, no, definitely wasn't him.
All right.
And so anyways, he said that he had heard that Ben Affleck would do it only if he was able to star in it as well. And I said, well, the only way that I'm interested if he stars in it is if he acts as both Superman and Batman. That's the only way that I'm interested. Then I would totally go for it.
I want him to be every character.
Yeah, exactly.
Forget about why leave those two off. He should be everyone.
Yeah, Wonder
and
Woman.
That way you can cut out enough good moments where maybe you might have one half-assed performance from him. That would be an improvement. I'm not a fan, obviously, of Ben Affleck, in case you can't tell. Now, I am a fan of the guy I work with named Rick, who I was doing an imitation of today when he walked up behind me. Not good.
But Rick, on the other hand, is not a fan of this kind of thing.
No, because he told me. never catch me talking comics.
No, it's good. Ben Affleck, I don't like him as an actor anymore, but he's an excellent director. I thought The Town, I love The Town, and his previous work...
Gone Baby Gone,
I thought was... amazing film. And if Mo actually watched movies, he'd agree with me, I think.
Yeah, I've heard, I mean, a lot of people do like them. There's no question about
okay,
it.
But I don't know if that means that he's any good as a director, or that just means that he ended up attached as a director on projects where he had an excellent cinematographer, a very good cast. A movie is the ultimate collaboration project. You can't just look at a director like Ben Affleck and say he's a good director based on those two things. To me, that doesn't count. This is, I don't trust him in a movie like this, and it's a different type of movie.
Well, I think your biggest, your best argument is that this is a different type of movie. I don't agree as much with your other statement. Like, certainly it's a collaborative, but I think a director can certainly, show up.
Some directors can. I'd say directors, on average, are responsible for, I'd say, about 15% of the success or failure of a movie.
But if you had told me that the guy who directed Elf was going to make one of the best comic movies ever when Jon Favreau did Iron Man, I would not have believed that for a second.
No.
And yet, Iron Man still stands as one of the top.
Well, I think there's one difference, ever. Though. I would have been able to say to you at the very beginning, of that. I don't know if he's going to any good as a director, but I know he loves comics and knows that character. He knows Iron Man. I don't know if you can say that about Ben Affleck and any of these characters. Other than, if it wasn't for Kevin Smith, what geek cred would this guy have? Certainly not from his performance in Daredevil.
Certainly not Daredevil. No. But he petitioned, I mean, he tried hard to get Daredevil. He wanted to play Daredevil.
Well, yeah, because he thought it would be good for his career.
Whether he succeeded or not. I mean, whether he liked what he did or not, I mean, he tried. He worked to get it.
Yeah. And I don't think he specifically tried to make it bad. And it's
he didn't. And again, it's not all his fault.
No. It's certainly not my least favorite Marvel movie.
I'll say that if I look at who he surrounds himself with, Casey Affleck is just right there ready to play Booster Gold.
Look, if they're doing a JLA movie, I hate to tell you this, Booster Gold doesn't make the cut.
Well, but we don't know where the rights are with any of these characters. I mean, they've talked about it being like a big seven Justice League, but I mean, who the heck knows where the rights are all tied up?
Justice League Detroit.
I want Justice League Detroit.
Damn right.
Oh, I think we'd all be
Gypsy.
Yeah.
Maybe she can get a spinoff.
Vibe, a little Vibe action.
Oh, yeah, man.
Vibe.
Isn't he dead now?
Oh, probably.
He's resurrected a couple times.
Oh, okay. He's back in the New 52. Yeah, he was teased in the Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah. Yeah, JLA Detroit, excellent. But anyways, we'll just see if they can even pull off a Justice League movie. Before they do a Justice League movie, they should do a World's Finest. Have that be successful, that should spin off into a Justice League.
Well, that's the other dicey thing is, how do you do a Justice League if you don't want to use Brandon Routh? And if DC's, Warner Brothers has been pushing hard to not have a universe. And this was the problem last time, is that you had the Christopher Nolan Batman, and they didn't want to use Christian Bale. They wanted to introduce a second Batman, and that was one of the many reasons.
What's their logic behind that decision? Because we've seen how incredibly successful this has been for Marvel.
No idea. But they go to great lengths. Like, I mean, Green Lantern went out of their way to point out that there had been no aliens, which means...
No Superman. Yeah.
Or at least no Superman that's publicly an alien, but...
Yeah.
I mean, they went out of their way to point it out, though.
So not the Nicolas Cage Superman.
That's right. So there is a silver lining, is what we're getting at there.
So just to go on, just before I see you ready to go to the next news item, obviously, already, you can tell, completely different dynamic to this podcast. Go on.
Actually, before we go on, because we're on a different dynamic, so... If assuming Ben Affleck's going to cast himself in the supposedly going to happen film, who should he play?
Green Lantern. Hal Jordan.
Hal Jordan. Hal Jordan. I went to Hal Jordan pretty quickly.
Hal Jordan's awesome. Although I could totally see him aiming for Batman.
I can see him aiming for Superman.
Depends on which version of Justice League we're going to get, I suppose.
True.
I mean, if we're looking Big Seven, I guess.
Ray Palmer, man, he's the Atom.
No, he's not.
Maybe I'm just trying to write him out of the script early.
Matt Damon is the Atom.
Matt Damon would be a good Atom.
Yeah.
He's almost scale already.
Nice. High five.
We can't high five right next to the mic.
Oh, yes, we can. There we go.
All right.
That reminds me of my other high five moments for you before we move on for the night.
Guy Gardner. Oh, okay. Yeah. He's not Big Seven, but Guy Gardner. Yeah.
Guy Gardner? Oh, man, he'd be a rough Guy Gardner.
Actually, it's interesting. You know what?
Trevor is actually the one I saw suggested on Twitter today that I thought was really a really smart one.
That would be extremely smart.
Because if we're not looking at the Big Seven, who are we looking at?
And are they the douchebag Big Seven? Or
John Stewart would be my... I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see John Stewart instead of Hal Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Could we see Kyle Rayner instead?
No.
No, ethnic diversity.
Yeah, they're going to go... They've go to the diversity.
And I just don't... Was Kyle Rayner ever a member of the Justice League?
Yes,
he was in Morrison's run, yeah. For quite a long time, Morrison's. But, I mean, Stewart's the one that you know from the... That people know from the cartoons. He's the one the kids know from the cartoons.
Yeah.
You know,
Hawkman.
Oh, Hawkman.
I think Hawkman, if they're not doing Big Seven, Hawkman would be one of them. Aquaman could still count, and same with John Johns, Martian Manhunter could still count, even though those guys would technically be in Big Seven. I don't see where a Flash property is right now, so you could probably put that in, but I think they might see that as a property they want to hold off.
Flash was going to be in the Miller one, George Miller one from a few years ago.
Yeah. You could try throwing in a little Shazam Captain Marvel action.
No, because, I mean, there's still talk that that could happen as a movie, right?
Yeah, I'll believe that.
About the talk, how about the talk of The Rock as Lobo? Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
You haven't heard that? Yeah,
yeah. He's currently in negotiation with on the Guy Ritchie Lobo.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that one bombs real quick.
I'm not. I mean, if it's Guy Ritchie, Dwayne Johnson, probably be pretty decent. If they'd probably get the character. But the thing is, yeah, he's himself said that he's looking to do it. He's been looking to do a comic book movie for a long time. I mean, right now he's Roadblock in G.I. Joe.
Right.
Before that, he was looking very strongly to be Black Adam. He would have been an excellent Black Adam in a Captain Marvel movie.
I would have loved the Black Adam.
Yeah, it would have been terrific.
I think a lot of this depends why the G.I. Joe movie was actually delayed as long as it was. If The Rock is really fault of this delay.
The thing is, the delay, from what I understand, was to put more of him in there, because it wasn't enough.
But if he's bad, it could explain...
The whole movie could be terrible. I think it's delayed to the dumping ground.
This is the ideal movie for him. I don't see how he'll be bad.
You know, this is exactly what he does. And the truth of the matter is that I've actually been really impressed with everything I've seen in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think he, as long as he stays relatively in his...
I would counter with his Scorpion own. King.
I wouldn't blame him. Scorpion King, I think, was okay. I think that, remember, keep in mind, that was his first movie. That's
for,
okay.
For what
I think,
he,
I think when you say this...
Movie. Go ahead.
For what he was.
Well, I mean, his first movie carrying it, though.
Yeah, it was his first lead role.
First real movie. I mean, the other one he was only really in for, I think, 12 minutes.
I think that's the only one I really enjoyed.
Oh, come on. Everybody loved The Rundown.
Oh, I hated The Rundown.
Oh, that's where you hate the director.
Oh, I hate The Rundown.
I've never seen it. Like, I've only seen it.
Oh, I love the property, hate the movie.
Rock movies, but...
Yeah. What's that movie, though, that one that he did that was, I think, set in the future, and really nobody went to see? It was Southland?
Southland Tales.
Yeah, Southland Tales, yeah. So.
Yeah, I thought that was terrible.
So there you go. So
but
you
I don't really know that's the fault of him.
Actually, no. Yeah. See, maybe this is
a terrible movie.
Maybe this is the thing. Every single movie that The Rock is in is terrible, because I don't think I've ever seen a good movie that The Rock is in.
I think we're forgetting the white elephant in the room. That's Doom. Doom. Awful.
That is a terrible, terrible movie. Yeah,
I thought that Be Cool was actually really horrible. But he's great. Like, so I think that Rock can't save a movie, but Rock can be good.
He's not a great actor. He's an average actor who has a tremendous screen presence, who has a niche that he's great at, and G.I. Joe's falling in.
And he's willing to take chances.
Yeah, he is, and he's very funny. Keep that in mind. So,
yeah, the Tooth Fairy. I can't stop laughing from that joke.
Well, DC.
I didn't say the movie is funny. He's funny.
While DC is talking to Academy Award winning screenwriter Ben Affleck to do Marvel has made their deal with Academy Award.
Matt, you're my friend. Could you put my name on that script you wrote?
Marvel has made their deal with Academy Award for Best Screenplay nominee Joss Whedon to do Avengers 2.
What was he nominated for?
For Toy Story, actually. He was one of the screenwriters on Toy Story.
Okay.
Joss Whedon is signed for Avengers 2, and the extra bit of news is that he will be helping to develop a TV series set in the Avengers universe. But no idea what that could be. It's completely wide open, but something regular.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that would.
I've heard rumors of Alias is going back into development, which would fit within our Avengers universe. It had a pilot.
Would they have to call it, what was the name of the lead character in Alias?
Jessica Jones.
Would they probably have to call it that?
That was going to be the name of it.
That would be the name, yeah.
A.K.A. Jessica Jones.
Okay. That's the title, yeah.
I hate Jessica Jones and that character, so.
Another, like, tack that they could take is the item 47 kind of thing, where it just, like, the fallout of the Avengers battles in New York, you know, taken from the more human scale.
I think they have to do it. There's no way we could do this on the budget.
Well, no, yeah,
still
you
with
can.
Marvels, you got budget.
No, yeah, I think you can. I think you can do it on the budget.
And you wouldn't do Marvels because it wouldn't tie in.
But I'm not saying necessarily doing Marvels. I'm just saying that concept. Like that's what you're talking
from
about.
From the ground? But if you haven't seen, like, do you know what item 47 is?
No.
In that case, okay. No, okay.
What is it?
Well, it's a movie, basically, like, some of the weapons, and I haven't seen it yet, but a couple of random people find a couple of the alien weapons, and so they take up and start up on a crime spree.
What aliens?
The aliens that are in the Avengers that you haven't seen.
Oh, okay. All right, what aliens are those?
What are they called?
I can't remember. They're the Ultimate Universe's version of the Skrulls.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I can never remember.
I can't. See them in my mind.
It's the same as I keep blanking on the Tesseract because it's just the Cosmic Cube to me.
Exactly.
You can't fool me. It's the Cosmic Cube.
Yeah, of course.
So Joss Whedon didn't have anything to do with that first Avengers movie. I literally paid that little attention.
He directed the first Avengers movie.
See, I literally paid that little attention.
And wrote the screenplay.
Yeah, I know. Everybody tells me how good it is.
That's because they're right. A couple of announcements of people that are moving on from titles. Matt Fraction, who is writing two Fantastic Four books starting in November, his book, The Defenders, will be canceled.
Yes!
In November.
Yes!
I know the fans of this
Brett, book... that deserves a high five.
The fans of this book disappointed, but this... There were fans of this book. I saw some disappointed stuff on Facebook, or on Twitter today. Facebook, like I was on Facebook.
I didn't know you were Facebook friends with Matt Fraction's mom.
That's right. and so I pulled the numbers on this book. She was trade waiting.
Another high five.
That's another one.
Every time we take a high five, you take a shot, folks.
I pulled the numbers on this book. 12. Number 8 was the newest issue, the July issue. This book lost 75% from number 1 to number 8.
That talks about how disappointingly bad it was.
It debuted as a top 15 bookish last December.
I hope that doesn't mean people will blame characters like Iron Fist, the people And I'm sorry, we did a Vietnamese for supper. I don't know if you heard that. I don't know if that sounded in the background. I don't know, somebody started their motorbike. Whoa. Anyways.
You sure we don't want to throw in some snake format?
For it to be snake format, it has to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Now, Mo was doing it 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 2, 3, 4, never having taken a turn himself. That's not snake format.
Yes, it is. Oh, my God.
No, actually, no. I do kind of, because if we were drafting, you would take a turn.
But I did take a turn. I'm always going in the middle.
Yeah, but you never...
But you never start a book.
Oh, no, wait, no.
No, but I always have a turn.
You never start a book.
But I never would.
No, no,
because it would go 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. So 2 is always number 2.
Yeah. No, it
goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1.
If that were snake format, then the same person would always be the first one to pick the book, and that wasn't happening.
No,
either.
Because a snake goes like this. So it goes 1, 2, 3.
It should always be 1, 2, 1, and 4.
Round 1, 2.
Who introduced the book? Never 2 and 3.
Chris, aren't you sorry you brought this up, you moron?
No, it's true.
I'm just marveling at the magic button I can press to cause this.
Brett, you can't leave.
Press the button.
Edit that out.
It
needs to stay.
It's like
in
a little show.
You know that's too good to mess out. That's the problem. Nobody's gonna know what we're talking about.
But while you're complaining, I've convinced Brett that was not indeed staying format.
No, because you would make every other person talk about a book, and never you.
No, yes, like, I do.
No. You always reviewed the books. No question about that.
Yeah.
But you never, ever introduced a book.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, every single other one of us would.
Yes.
And that is not snake format.
Yes, because, it is.
No, in snake format, one, two, so one introduces, two, three, four doesn't, four introduces, two, three, one introduces, two, three. See, two and three in that format should never introduce a book.
Yes, and so two in the format of one, two, three would never introduce a book.
Yes, but when there's four, it still happened where three of us would introduce a book. I'm pretty sure of that.
Oh, like, that, no, when we're doing this, I wasn't doing snake format. That wasn't snake format. We were doing, it was when we were only three people.
You absolutely called that snake format.
Oh, you son of a... Go back and re-listen. That is such bullshit. From.
You always called
it. No, it was when we were three people.
No.
No.
I'm so glad I could close this.
All right. So anyways, Matt Fraction sucks. Move on.
That's right. And Rob Liefeld has said that he'll leave Grifter at the January.
Well, speaking of people that suck.
So
he was writing Grifter?
He was writing Grifter.
When that happened?
Issue 9 through 16, which has been... I actually don't know what's going on in the book. I was about to say Lobo, but Lobo's in Deathstroke, which I also quit at number 8.
Who took over Lobo? Or, I mean, Deathstroke?
Deathstroke was also Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, because he's also got Hawkman.
He took three books on.
I see a pattern here.
Yeah, I can't get wait to get my complete Deathstroke trade paperback that includes issues 1 through 8.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pretend that nothing happened after that. But he's leaving in January, and this is the same time that that Grant Morrison has already said that he's leaving Action. So it makes me wonder if there's something coming along for February. A bigger wave or a bigger change. Bigger product launch coming in the February issue. So I guess it would be correct timing for them to announce in New York, which is in October.
How could anybody possibly class Grant Morrison and Rob Liefeld even in the same like category?
I have included them as writers who are leaving.
There you go.
I will agree that they both work in comics.
Yes.
And I'm choosing not to purchase the work by either one of them. So they have a lot in common.
Yeah, apparently. You know what?
I don't know. Rob Liefeld, does he work in comics? He's just there.
Actually, no. I'll bet you that they both draw about the same.
Grant Morrison also cannot draw feet.
Does he draw big guns? What does Liefeld draw bigger? The guns or the women's breasts?
Pockets.
Men's breasts.
Men's breasts. Well, yeah, it's true.
Captain America.
Oh, yeah. Man. That thing.
Unbelievable.
The last thing I want to hit on the news...
You're right, pockets. I don't know if he draws them bigger, but he draws more of them.
The last bit is little bits that we're hearing about the Marvel Now. Hulk will feature Hulk teaming up with Maria Hill, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., recently seen in the Avengers movie that Mo has not seen.
I was about to say, who's that?
Played by Kobe Smulders.
Who's that?
She's awesome.
How I Met Your Mother.
I think I need a moment, actually, just to think about
How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
Don't know it.
She's a Canadian treasure.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Brett, would you throw me a wine beer, please?
So she and I have a lot in common.
That's right.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, wait. Listen, folks. That is my favorite sound in the world, when Brett doesn't screw it up. That's three tries to get the lid off. And, anyways.
It's dark out here now.
It is dark.
Yes.
I'm having trouble reading my news notes.
You better finish those.
The other thing we're hearing, Fantastic Four will be a time-traveling, space-traveling adventure. This is the original four back together. And, the FF book by Fraction and Allred. We've found out the team this week. It will be the Scott Lang Ant-Man, She-Hulk, Medusa, and a new character named Miss Thing, who is a Lindsay Lohan-type celebutante in a Thing armor.
Lindsay Lohan-type.
That's right, a celebutante. So a Paris Hilton.
Well,
Lindsay Lohan's actually a celebutante. That was the quote I read today. But
yeah,
she's not actually a celebutante. She's a very successful actress for a brief period of time.
A singer, right?
That's a celebutante. Paris Hilton is a celebutante.
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan didn't come from money, so she can't be a celebutante.
No. I've never heard the expression celebutante before tonight. Hope to never hear it again.
Well, I got it like six times there.
You apparently don't watch TMZ.
No, I don't watch TMZ. TMZ, I was worried, would give me spoilers to the Avengers movie.
Like that Scarlet Witch cameo?
Yeah, that was great. Some guy sent me an email today bugging me. It's like, what'd you think of that Scarlet Witch cameo?
That was Comic Canuck who sent you
that. Yeah, that was our buddy Comic Canuck.
I kind of expected that when we told you Thanos was in it, that that you would not believe us. But
I didn't hear it from you. I heard it from somebody I believe, Longbuck's Graveyard.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's like all, thanks.
All of the spoilers. All of the Americans who couldn't watch the Olympic opening live, that had to watch it on time delay. I was watching Canadians and people in the UK who were watching it live, and references to the James Bond piece is amazing, and all the Americans going, "You're just making stuff up now. This isn't what's really going on."
It's cookie time.
Oh, there's cookies.
There are cookies.
You know what? I gotta say, cookies and beers, though, not necessarily.
Well, and that's the news. Time for cookies.
Time for the bigger news is cookies are ready.
So the beginning of the news is brought to you by Comicosity. The end of the news is brought to you by cookies.
Yeah, two things that are awesome. Anyways, it's good. This is we're gonna just wait for Brett, and so I want to throw out a topic. I have a bunch of topics. So I'll just throw it out to you two. Let Brett, when he comes back, he can jump in here.
I have a mini topic.
You have a mini topic. Let me throw one out.
Well, my mini topic is because there was an article on Comicosity this week about characters that sat on the shelf, characters that were quote unquote benched.
Yeah.
And some of them were gone a long time. Characters like Aquaman, who went like 6 years without appearing in a regular book.
Mm-hmm.
Long, long periods that some of these characters can sit. You know, I argue the Kryptonian Supergirl went almost 20 years.
Iron Fist is the first one I think of.
Iron Fist was quite a long time. Thinking less about ones that died and then were brought back. But characters that just... their book got canceled. They were left on the shelf.
And Luke Cage also qualifies for that.
Luke Cage would be a good example of that. I mean, yeah. After Power Man,
oh, those look delicious.
A very long time before he appeared.
Plastic Man.
Plastic Man. After Plastic Man, I think after his TV series cartoon went out, I think he was off for a long, long time. Chris, you're drinking. We're all eating. That means your mouth is less full than ours.
Yes,
you talk. Say anything.
I had hamburger topping on my ice cream sundae today, so I'm finished.
Yeah. We did have Vietnamese for supper tonight.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And hamburgers and ice cream for dessert.
Well, we had ice cream for dessert. You decided to add hamburgers in. You're like, that Vietnamese, that huge bowl of food I had did not do enough for me. Let me get a couple. He goes up, and we're waiting for our food, and we're like, why are you still waiting? We just got ice cream. He's like, well, I got a couple of cheeseburgers. I'm like, that's hilarious, Chris. I figure he's joking. Then I say later, what is it you're waiting so long for? I told you, ice cream and cheeseburgers. I'm like, yeah. At this point, I'm thinking he might be telling the truth. Comes back with his plate. Sure enough, cheeseburgers and ice cream. Amazing.
Yummy. Nothing says Vietnamese like cheeseburgers.
We also got some, at the Vietnamese restaurant, we got some fortune cookies. And Keith got the best fortune cookie. What did yours say?
Mine says, love is moving to the next level.
Isn't that nice?
And I held it up, had everyone read it, and I said, that means anal.
And then I held mine up and said, I looked at it and said, luck will be coming your way. I said, that also means anal.
You two have fun now.
My wife is not on Twitter, nor does she listen to our show.
Really, go figure there.
So this the article that was on Comicosity by our pal Matt was about characters that had sat on the shelf that were benched. Characters that they weren't killed off and then brought back, nothing like that. Yeah, and so certainly characters that sat, you know, Aquaman, I think, was 58 months or something. It was about 5 years that it went between runs, that the character just wasn't being used. Now, the question I have, and this is a question that, as people clamor and beg for certain characters to come back post-New 52, are there characters that would have been better off if they were left on the bench? That were brought back and were so poorly handled that they actually would have been, the fans may have been happier to have them just stay gone.
The example I think of is
that when Dan Jurgens was finishing his run on Justice League and doing Death of Superman, he destroyed Booster Gold's costume,
yes,
depowered him.
So you went to Booster Gold, that's a surprise.
Leaving Booster Gold on the bench. But almost immediately afterward, he was brought back in Justice League by Dan Vado?
Extreme Justice.
The armored Booster Gold.
I'm actually beginning to think that if we don't talk about Extreme Justice in a podcast, then
that's how we can avoid this Booster Gold bull.
And as a Booster Gold fan, I would have been thrilled that Booster
you,
just
really,
not appearing.
You like Booster Gold?
I would have liked, no idea. But I would have paid extra to have him not appear at all, rather than be in something like
Extreme
Justice.
Well, that gives us something in common.
Now, are there other examples like that, though?
This is more of a resurrection, but who in the New 52... I'd love to hear the story meeting on the resurrection of Vibe. I mean, were they just sitting around and, you know who I am?
That character's money. Vibe. That character's money. We gotta bring him back.
Actually, Chris, you know, when you say that, Resurrection Man, why the hell did they bother bringing him back? Like, what point did that serve other than it was a different niche that they could try to point to.
And they're, ironically, a benched character who dies every issue.
Yeah.
Yes. Unfortunately, he comes back in another one.
Well, obviously, the first time Luke Cage did come back, as in the Selma book series Cage, he was gone for a while as Power Man, right? Comes back, I think the last 25 issues is a terrible series. I can't even remember who wrote it, but it's a terrible, terrible series. He was gone again for years. Until essentially Bendis resurrected him, right? So, yeah. I mean, that almost killed the character.
Well, there was a couple. There was a Marvel Max series before Bendis got a hold of him.
I thought Bendis actually spearheaded. No. He didn't write it, but I thought he spearheaded.
That was Brian.
Bringing it back from that.
Brian,
was it Gatos or?
No. He's writing before Watchmen. Azzarello.
Okay.
That was Azzarello and Richard Corbin.
Like I've read it, and I mean it's a thorough departure from Cage.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean so somebody brought it back, but that character could have been gone forever if a writer doesn't get an inspiration, because that series was so bad. So that's one certainly. That's certainly among a list of a character series almost killed.
I would have really loved to have.
I think about
Matt
that now. Now this is a
Marvel.
Character. This is a character now who's in video games and all over the place and doesn't seem now to be going anywhere for any point in time. So think about that.
I mean, my only issue is the fact that you know, the two people who do write the most, thankfully not Aaron, but you know, like Matt and you, Keith, who write the most for Comicosity, write entirely DC. It's like completely DC-centric. There's not like... It's not Image, it's not Marvel, it's nothing.
It leaves you that,
like,
eh?
Bam.
Whoa! And
excuse me, sorry. That was chilly.
That was the chilly. Not moving on though. But you mentioned this. I mean, is there any characters right now who've been on the shelf for a long time and you're like, I can't wait for the comeback, but people might have forgotten? Well, my question for you is based off this though is, what characters on the bench right now who's been gone for a long time who you always thought maybe had some potential that you'd like to see come back? Then is there anybody? Anybody out there?
Wild Dog.
Wild Dog is a great character, but you know what? If he's not going to be written by Max Allen Collins, I don't know if I want him back. But then again, I guess if you look at it, you can go, a guy like Azzarello could probably do a great Wild Dog, right? So who knows?
Well, this year, this week, we had It Girl come out. There's a whole bunch of Mike Allred's characters that have been sitting way too long, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Atomics. I love Madman.
I suppose, though, when I look at those are creator-owned characters, right? Those aren't characters that are sitting because of some publishing house doesn't know what to do with them, which is kind of more what I'm thinking.
Okay, then I'll go with Ecstatic. I'm also Mike Allred as well.
All right, I'm going to go with the entire Ultraverse line.
Mm.
Power Pack as a team.
Mm.
They've been quite scattered for years and years. Julie Power's the only one that's... Oh, there's one in FF.
Yeah, Alex Powers in FF.
Yeah.
And Julie Powers is in New Avengers.
Yeah, the big difference is... I mean, and they have been on the bench for a while, but they tend to bring out miniseries, well, like Power Pack and Spider-Man, Power Pack and... You know,
yeah, those are the...
I thought the one character...
The external continuity.
Yeah. I thought the one character in Power Pack, the lead, the foolish boy, got the powers of all four of them. That was the latest.
They all.
That was quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got their original. They got their old powers back. Yeah, that was when he was in the New Warriors. Mm. They had established. Here's some Power Pack continuity. They had established late in the run that they actually all had access to all four powers, and that's how they could switch them around a couple times during their series. In New Warriors, they established that Alex could just take them all.
Oh, okay.
Without their permission. He just, while they were asleep, he took all the whole set of powers because he didn't think the kids that young should be adventuring.
A little late.
He being 15 or 16.
Yeah.
A little late for that. I mean, you know what? Now you mentioned New Warriors. Rage. Love Rage.
I don't know if Rage is currently alive. I don't know where he's been appearing. I saw a character just a couple of weeks ago. Deathlock appeared in one of the AVX crossovers.
Oh yeah,
just hanging around.
Yeah. Well, sure, there's a lot of characters. There's a lot of characters like that who just seem to be hanging around during Civil War, right? It was like we haven't seen those guys for years. All of a sudden, the Shroud is there, and he's on somebody's side. You know, it's like
Cloak and Dagger. They're not.
I love the Shroud.
Every once in a while, they were in Spider Island for, you know, one issue or something like that.
Over at DC, there's a character. Who's the character? I can't remember the character's name, but it's a character I thought had potential, but I knew was never going to take off.
Damage?
No, though. There's that. But no, this character.
Primal Force.
Did you know somebody Googled our podcast for Primal Force Podcast
awesome. And
found us? I told you it was worth it, you bastard. So anyways, now I forgot where I was going, but there's a character, I can't remember, he was introduced by...
Dr. Fate?
Shut the hell up. Shut the front door.
Dr. Fate will be back in Earth 2 coming up...
how about just Fate? Just
right around Christmas.
Just Fate? No?
Fate? Oh yeah, he's retconned out in the middle of his own run, wasn't he?
Pretty much
decide halfway through.
What was the character's name? Was it Azrael? Not Azrael. It was something like that, though.
Aztec.
No. Aztec, though, I loved.
The Ultimate Man.
I loved Aztec the Ultimate Man. That was a Morrison run, but I thought it was good.
You've got to finish your whole thought here before I can...
Well, people are quick jumping. The one thing we said before we start the podcast is don't jump all over each other. It's going to be easy when we're all sitting around each other.
Oh, come on. This is way more fun.
Oh, yeah. You're not on my side. No one is. Anyway. What I was trying to say is, I don't remember. No, Grant Morrison created this character during his JLA run, pretty early on, and Mark Miller wrote the miniseries. It was the Angel character. I believe the name started with A. And he was going to make him the new Hawkman. And pretty much because at the time, Hawkman had such a bad run of series and create and you know everything that they pretty much thought the name was completely... unmarketable.
Seriously? So, I thought that was Aztec.
No, it wasn't Aztec. He did bring in Aztec in like issue 18 or something like that.
Yeah,
wrap up the storyline.
Yeah, Hawkman at the time was referred to as Radioactive.
Exactly. He was. They essentially thought to themselves, and so he was going to name this character who was an Angel because they had a war with Angels and Hell, JLA did early in his run. I can't remember the name of the character. Anybody remember?
No.
Well, that character. I think he brought back.
Darkhawk.
You can.
I almost picked up the Darkhawk trade paper back there.
Danny Ketch is the other one that I would put on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, Danny Ketch.
Danny Ketch. I don't even know what they're doing with that character right now. That I looked it up on Wikipedia. It was very confusing with the character.
Really?
I don't know if it hasn't. The wiki didn't seem to be updated since they introduced this new version of Ghost Rider. So I don't know how he fits with those.
Yeah. All right. Well. That was a good one. Mo, congratulations. Anybody else got something to say?
I would actually love to know what you could fit in all the little tiny pockets that Rob Liefeld draws.
A bunch of his canceled books.
Yeah, no, because they're too small. And his canceled books would actually be like really quite
3 feet.
Large. 3 feet, yes. There you go.
All of the shoes fit in those little satchels.
He always has nail clippers.
Cable has no end of trouble going through airport security.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, it's a belt.
I can't take the arm off. It's bionic. It's, yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to throw another one out to you, though, because we talk about Daredevil. What do you guys think, what was the movie you were sure was a comic book movie that was going to be good and wasn't? Like, I didn't go into Daredevil thinking it'd be any good. It wasn't particularly good, but I wasn't disappointed for that reason, right? I mean, what was the one where you're like, oh, this is going to be great, and it just didn't do it? I mean, Spider-Man 2 is the one that comes up for me, because everybody talked about how good it was, and then it really didn't work for me.
I got an embarrassing one on this one.
Okay.
I had heard Typhoid Mary was in the Elektra movie.
Oh, my God. You're a moron. There's a character
I wanted so much for the Elektra movie to be good, because I thought Jennifer Garner was not terrible casting.
Yes, she was.
Somehow I thought she could pull it off. And
what were you smoking?
Oh, God, it was painful.
Jennifer Garner is the most attractive Greek actress I have ever seen in my life. she's a wonder of Greek heritage.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, I never would have guessed.
When you look at Jennifer Garner, you just think Nachos, or whatever her last name is there.
Nachos?
And I don't even think I thought it was going to be good. I just thought it was going to be watchable.
Are we going to have some nachos? Is that what somebody's saying? Because I would love some nachos right now.
I could go for some nachos.
Or having beer.
I should have had that second cheeseburger.
You dumb bastard.
I didn't plan ahead like Chris did to have...
way too much food to so that he could feel sick.
Look, I'm looking at him over there. Trust me, he's wishing he hadn't had those last two hamburgers. he's looking a little peakish.
I'm going to say The Losers.
The Losers.
I really had high hopes for that movie. I liked the cast. The trailers looked very funny. I don't think I made it to the end of the movie.
Really? That's interesting. I had no expectations of that movie. I loved it.
It was entertaining. I didn't have any problems, but fun. I mean, have the Losers really had a great run? I mean, the Vertigo series was readable. I enjoyed it, but I can't see myself going back and reading it again.
Well, when I read it, it was weird because I just kind of I thought, I'd rather watch the movie.
Okay, what do you have? Anyone, Brett? That was just you're like, this is going to be good, and it just didn't do it for you.
I think despite Nick Cage being there, I did expect the first Ghost Rider to be interesting.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, it's not interesting enough to go see it in the movie theater or anything like that.
No, but don't be ridiculous.
But just, that was you know, Chris. Being that it was just so painful.
I saw Ghost Rider in the movie theater. Yeah.
Not Ghost Rider
actually,
2, though.
No. But no. That was only Chris. The number one movie that I will give for that is Ang Lee's Hulk.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you know what?
I think that one got all of
it. I want to change my vote now.
Yeah. I thought that one was going to just tear the roof off of Hulk. Yeah.
I mean, when that was announced, I was excited because he was coming off of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, was that what it was called?
Yeah.
Didn't get the name right. He was coming off that, and that movie was brilliant. So I was really excited. But as I heard his interviews, and I heard the way he was talking about it, and heard his background and not familiarity with the character, I pretty much, by the time the movie was coming out, was pretty much going, I don't think this is going to work. And so, I don't know, at what point in time, though, when you're watching that movie, did you say to yourself, Brett, this isn't going to work? Because it took me a while. I kept on staying with it for a while. And I actually love the climax. When it's the Hulk against the military and a bunch of tanks and stuff, that's the Hulk I know. But there's a middle section with the stuff with the dad.
No, that actually happens immediately. The dad stuff, I think that was...
That's early on, you're right.
That happened immediately, because I just wound up watching like the first 15 minutes of it. And now, granted, it's probably different when we saw it in the movie theater.
Did we see that together?
Yeah, we did.
Hmm.
And I just remember as
the last time we saw a movie together, it spoiled the whole experience.
No, basically,
I just blamed the people I was with.
No, any time I'm with Brett, I tend to blank that out too. That's generally
you really shouldn't let him get the beverages. you should get those poured right in front of you.
Those have a cap on them. Brett, I know, because Brett can't get those capped off.
That's why Mo can't remember anything from a previous podcast.
I would say the panel borders, like the gutters from the panels appearing on the screen, because it just showed me that here's someone with a fundamental misunderstanding of how a comic works when you look at it.
Yeah.
The comic experience is not defined by the white area around the pictures.
Well, and I just can't get over how stupid the battle with the dogs was.
Yep.
It's just so stupid. So stupid.
The trailer actually took me out on that one. Yeah. It was the CG Hulk going, that's not good. Is that final product?
Yeah.
Thus, I probably didn't hate as much as you guys. By the time I actually finished watching the movie in the theater, I was actually relieved because from the trailer, I thought it was going to be much worse than it actually was.
You know what, Ang Lee? But why would Ang Lee choose his own face for the Hulk when the actor is a different ethnicity? Why would he choose his own face for the Hulk? I don't
understand.
Baby.
That's meta.
That's
meta. They fixed a lot of that, so.
Yeah, well.
There's still no fixing that movie. Like, with the experiences that I've had, anytime. Because it is a comic book movie, and
yeah, but you know what? Watch the first 15 minutes, if I say to you, don't watch anything, watch it, start when he starts the battle with the military at the end. That's the Hulk from the Stan Lee early stuff, that Hulk with the Thunderbolt Ross and then chasing him, that battle is very reminiscent of that stuff. If but you just watch that, that's a great action series. That's my Hulk I wanted.
Yeah, but that's only like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, but that 10, 15 minutes kicks ass.
But at the end, and you have to remember that the end of the movie is still horrifically awful.
I don't even remember it. I might have shut it off after that.
He fights his dad.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That's right.
The Absorbing Man. Oh, wait.
No, I mean, yeah, that part there.
Oof. That's true. Open me another beer there, Brett. Or at least try.
It's quite nice. A little warm, but
a little beer warm. Works. My car was 400 degrees. Thank you, sir.
Grass skirt wearing guys make good beer.
Yeah, they do. What grass skirt wearing? Oh, it's Kona?
Hawaiian.
It's Hawaiian beer. No kidding. See, I told you The Rock was good for something. He's half Samoan, Hawaiian.
How can you bring everything back to wrestling, man?
I host We Talk Wrestling.
The same way that Keith can bring everything back to Booster Gold?
I think The Rock would be terrible as Booster Gold.
You know, I did have the thought that
if Affleck plays Rip Hunter and Casey Affleck plays Booster Gold, then you've got the family resemblance thing with two people that aren't that different in age. It'll totally play that, is Rip Booster's son thing.
I'm going to throw this back at you. Ben Affleck, if he's going to play a character in Marvel besides Daredevil, who should he play? Who would he have been good at? I think he would have made a good Cyclops, actually.
I can see that. He's tall guy.
Completely.
He only seems tall because he's next to Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, who could
he's like
could
5'9".
Play, who could play Ant-Man without special effects?
There you go.
How about Martian Manhunter?
Well, that would be CG, and he just did the voice. I'd be into it,
and not a Marvel character. So
yeah, good point.
So other than the Vision. Things that you said,
the Vision. Oh, there you go. So what character? If we're not talking Lobo, we talked about Black Adam. Throw those two out there. What character from anywhere, Marvel, DC, whatever, would The Rock be good as? Who'd you like to see him play?
You said Luke Cage?
No, we haven't. He'd make an excellent Luke Cage. You know what? He'd make an excellent Luke Cage.
Terrible Luke Cage.
Why?
Oh, there's so many reasons.
Give me one. No, give me two if there's so many.
I want 17. Alphabetized.
You know what? I'll come back to you.
Okay. No.
Have a nap.
The Rock has a sense of humor about him.
Yeah.
You need a stone cold MF to play Luke Cage.
No.
You need somebody who can stare you down.
No. Number one, The Rock can stare you down. Number two.
No, the Rock stares down people with a comic flair.
No, he doesn't have to. When it's time to kick ass, he can do it. Number two. My Luke Cage, the Luke Cage that I know, isn't the Azzarello one. And that character has a lot of sense of humor, and that is portrayed in there as well. But still, is a tough guy. But no, I totally disagree.
You know what? If he says Holy Christmas, I probably would agree with you.
He doesn't say that anymore.
Sweet Christmas?
Sweet Christmas.
Sweet Christmas.
He doesn't say Sweet Christmas anymore.
No, that sucks.
That is not... that's I'm sending waffles to Marvel now.
Yeah.
Because they clearly don't care about my Luke Cage.
No,
exactly. He doesn't say Sweet Christmas.
Well, one thing that I will say is that he would make it a terrible Black Panther.
He would make a terrible Black Panther.
I'd be There's totally a lineup of people to do terrible Black Panther.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
So was it Wesley Snipes that was trying to put that together for years?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, years, yeah. Well, and everybody's been trying to put together Luke Cage. I mean, Lord knows if you ever saw the Isaiah Mustafa.
Yeah, he was. Snipes was also attached to that at one point, yeah. Back when it was called just Cage again, back in that era. So, yeah, he wanted to just be all the black characters from Marvel at one point, it seems so.
Yeah. I think he was kind of, yeah, I mean, that was kind of the Ryan Reynolds effect of there just kept being rumors about him attached to every character that
came character. Along,
yeah. I think Nick Cage tried to be all the black characters in the Marvel Universe at one time, too.
That's very possible, actually. Yeah.
All right, another mini topic there.
Another mini topic. Okay, let's do this because we hit our comic book shop, like I say, and then we went and got Viennese, and then like I say, Chris got some hamburgers. Before that, like I say, comic book shop. We're in there today, Brett. I'm not gonna say which one it was, but
I already know which one it was.
You know which one it was. Yeah, I'm not gonna say on the podcast because
I should say we've been to several over the course of the past week. So
We don't, I love Alpha Comics. I'm just gonna say that. This isn't the one.
So we'll say it wasn't at Alpha Comics.
It wasn't Alpha Comics.
We can say that.
And I'm not going to say it's a bad store, but it wasn't what I look for in a comic book store. But I think this was a comic book store that's very reminiscent of what a lot of comic book stores are out there. So I'm going to ask you guys, what is it you're looking for in a comic book store when you walk in? What are you looking for? What is your ideal comic book store in this day and age, Brett?
Well, I think for one thing, I want somebody who I can accept as a comic book fan behind the counter.
Yeah.
I want somebody that
I feel like... That's one of the reasons I like Alpha.
Yeah, I want somebody that I feel like is going to be willing...
And that wasn't tonight.
...to engage me in a comic book conversation, no matter what. Somebody who was willing to come out from behind the counter and chat me up, even if I don't necessarily want that, and kind of, you know, don't talk to them that much. Because that happens on occasion. But chances are really good. If you get me talking comics, I'm going to keep talking comics. And so that's what I want. And I know that there is one store in Calgary that definitely is no good for talking comics.
Well, now there's two. now there's three. Actually, I can think of three. I can actually think of a fourth where the guy is faking it because he doesn't actually read them. But he researches them enough to fake it. So, I mean... I think you're right. I think that's one of the things I look for, too. But you guys, what's kind of... How do you guys feel about this one tonight? Is it what you were looking for? You guys were actually there. Brett, of course, was too busy with his kid.
The place was jam-packed full of stuff. There was a lot of selections, a lot of things to look at full price.
And,
it's not that I want things marked down or anything. It's that if you have that much stuff, you're overstuffed. There should be a discount bin somewhere, and there should be a box of beat up trades that I can get for $2.
It shouldn't just be the fact that your back issues and your bins are marked. If they're $3 or below, you can get them for actually $1. If they're $4 or more, you can get them 50% off. That was the only sale that you could find there,
and thousands of things, overflowing bins, all marked at retail or usually above what you would. Be the suggested retail. So, and it's a competitive market. I go into a store, particularly when I'm traveling. If I'm gonna pay full retail for something, I'm gonna pay full retail at one of my regular comic stores. Because I want them to have the money. If I'm traveling, for example, I was in Victoria and there's several stores within a short period, and they all have racks and racks of cover price trades, and this is the same at a show. I'm not interested in buying cover price trades at a comic show, and I'm not looking for it when I go door to door because I can go to the bookstore and buy them, or I can go to my local comic store and buy them for full pop. I'm looking for stuff that's marked down. I'm looking for things that are beat up. I'm looking for the things that they got a deal on 20 of them, so they're selling them for $5 each. The unique thing that makes that
store... You're looking
store,
to pick their corpse is what you make it sound like.
Exactly. No, I'm looking for something that makes them not like... Chapters or Barnes & Noble. I'm looking for what makes them not, like, a bookstore.
Yeah.
Everyone's got stuff at retail. What makes your store special? What's, like, whether that's discounted figures, whether that's
statues. Well, yeah, and that's the thing, though. I think it's also, like even just having like, a different sale or something like that. Something that can bring in the fan. Because, you know, you talk about T-shirts, you talk about figures, you talk about back issues. I don't even see the need for back issues nowadays.
A lot of stores don't carry them.
Yeah. And you talk about those things and just all the extra things that can be involved in a comic book store. And you're absolutely right. When I go into a store, one of the things that sets them apart is whether or not they have something, even if it's just a small rack.
Yeah.
If it's a small rack, it's one of those cases where they're like, okay, we admit, well, maybe we've made a mistake on this stuff. Maybe we just want to get rid of this stuff because it's not the kind of thing that will sell very well. But, you know, here's that rack for all those people out there. And it tells me at least they take the time to go through their store stock and try to move some of it out.
Yeah.
Unlike some stores where it's just like, put it in the back.
Yeah. How about you, Chris?
If I'm paying full retail, I want to be able to find the product. Organization. Today, I had 4 or 5 books that I was willing to buy, but just couldn't find going in there. Sure, if I know what I want, sure, I can get it off the internet. But chances are, if I want it today, I'm going to a comic book shop, and I want to be easily able to find it. That's the point of paying retail. If I'm looking for a deal, sure, I don't mind bin diving and searching for those lost gems, those issues I missed. But if it's not on the shelf in an organized manner, and I'm paying full retail, I'm going to be... if I can't find it, I'm going to be pissed off and I can't buy it.
Well, you know what? It felt to me like those books you're looking for, they probably had them, but you couldn't find them.
Exactly.
And that's what's frustrating. I mean, for me, I go into a comic book shop, I don't want one copy of every single trade paperback that's ever been printed, which is kind of what this one had.
Yeah.
I want the hottest and newest, the most classic, and some of the hidden gems, but I want just a few. And I want to know I can go to you and get anything else. That you have some way for me to browse it, whether it's through an internet site or anything else, that I can go online and I can talk to you about, and I can engage in that conversation again, like Brett says, and I can find out I can get that book if I want it. But really, I don't want to have to sit there and stare at all this, because at some point in time, it just becomes a bunch of really tiny writing that I have to turn my head to read. Because it's 1,000,000,001 books. It's
you tune out.
It's intimidating. It's almost intimidating. You know, this is not what I'm looking for.
You know, and it's interesting, Chris, you talk about that, and I think, like, one of the, to your point, like, one of the things that I would look for is every time and, like, every week with the new releases, I want to see a nice wall with all the new releases, because those are the things that I think are most interesting when you go in on a Wednesday or whatever,
yeah.
And you come in and you're like, wow, look at that, because you might find something there that you wouldn't think of buying.
Yeah.
And because so many stores carry a large selection of trades, the new trades should be with new releases.
Yeah.
The newest trades, like this week's, the trades should be, you know, one, if you've got 4, one copy should be on the shelf alphabetically where it's supposed to go. The rest should be with new comics. I'm more likely to get it there if this has just come out.
Especially if they have a big stack of trade paperbacks, because those ones in alphabetical order, you have to be serious about knowing what you want. Because you're not just sitting there, like, hour and a half, like... Aquaman.
That's the nice thing about not having every. That's the nice thing about not having every trade paperback ever. If you have, I mean, you can have a big selection of trade paperbacks, but not have an incredibly intimidating amount. And I know there's still going to be stuff I haven't read, and I'm probably going to your store, and every trade paperback you have is good, and that's why you're carrying it. Maybe I've heard of it, maybe I haven't, maybe I already have a copy, but everything on your shelf is good. And like I say, if there's something that I've heard of otherwise, I want to know I can just get it from you. All I need.
One thing
I make it an easy way for me to be able to shop online and get it from you. Or, you know, ideally, you should have a computer I can go to in store and see what I can back order from you.
One of the stores that I really like, how it's laid out, it's a bigger store, sorts their back at their trades and some of their back issue stuff by creators, mm-hmm. which is very nice. As someone who's much more driven by creator, you know, as I look at filling in my Brian K. Vaughns, for example, it's much easier for me to do that when he's published by five or six different companies over the years. If you have grouped them for me, even if it's a smaller shelf, even if they're a creator that only does four or five different books, there's, you know, there's one shelf for Dave Sim, for example. There's two shelves for Brian K. Vaughan. There's a whole rack for Neil Gaiman, that kind of thing. But I know who I like, and you know, the other day I bought a trade because it was Phil Noto, who's you know, Mo had recommended it. I looked at it and recognize the name from creator owned. That's why I picked up the book. I haven't read it yet. It's on my pile. I read the other books that I got that day, not the Avengers one yet.
Yeah.
But me catching that name and relating it was what sold me on that book. You know, Mo had mentioned that he enjoyed it. I took a second look at it and then saw the name. So if those two things were racked together, I would have been much more likely to buy it. I'm lucky that I did catch it. That I did make that connection, but if those were racked next to each other,
yeah, absolutely, no question,
I would have been so much more likely to grab it.
I mean, I think it's hard to do that for everybody, you know, because they may not do enough, and you would have to have such a huge stock.
Some of these, for sure, but so many of these places do seem to, like, I can go into three or four stops in this city who have the exact same look as the one I saw today. I mean, this is really nothing to differentiate them looks-wise. Like, they're all overpacked. They all have a whole bunch of stuff. It's all a little bit art. There's so many ways, I think, for comic book stores to still improve. I almost feel like they've gotten lazy going into a pattern of this is what comic book stores supposed to look like.
I think
they've almost stopped. It's like, what a comic book store looks like on The Simpsons, what a comic book store looks like. Ours looks like that. Good enough. Instead of still trying to improve it.
I think that Edmonton actually has nicer comic.
Oh yeah, than Calgary stores, for sure.
You know? Like they really seem to work hard at keeping their comic book stores up.
Definitely, definitely. So anybody else got? I got a couple more mini topics. One of them based off of when we were together, me and Keith. When we like I say we went to Alpha, a comic book shop. He doesn't have a ton of stock, but I tell you what, I never have trouble finding anything, and I never feel like I can't talk to him if I need to. Right, that's one of the things. But we're in there. We're just walking out. And they have a kids comic with a Marvel kids comic. It is the Hulk versus the Thing. I'm walking past and go, ooh, it's the Hulk versus the Thing. And I almost bought it because every single time in my entire life I've seen the Hulk versus the Thing, I've wanted to see that fight, even though I've seen it so many times. So what's the fight that you guys go, the confrontation, the whatever, that every single time you guys think of it or hear it, and you know what's going to happen, if they say to you, if you saw a solicitation that says, 2 months from now, this character's going to fight this character. Like I say, if I see Hulk versus Thing, I'd be like, well, I'm ordering that. I'm buying that. What's the one for you guys?
Okay, let's get back here. Even as a kid, I called bullshit on that one.
Why is that?
The Hulk would kick the Thing's ass.
I know, he's never won, and yet I'm still excited every time.
I thought that was he's so never stupid as a kid. The Hulk is a strong... How is the Hulk... I mean, Hulk versus Superman, yeah. Hulk versus the Thing, it's just throw the two strongest guys you can think of from the Marvel Universe. That's way too easy. Magic, I just thought that was so lazy.
But, Mo, is it because they did that big book on it that was just boom...
Yes, that's part of it. There's so much of it. Like I say, it's just one I go, whoa. Brett, what do you got?
Well, I mean... I think it has to be major characters. And so, I mean, I... Like Charles Xavier versus Magneto,
every single time.
You know,
doesn't matter.
I mean, those two they're supposed to be enemies.
If they started teasing that AVX would end with Charles Xavier versus Magneto, everyone would be back in all three of you would be back on this book.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, that's
true. It's totally true. And if they told me it was going to be Hulk versus Thing as well, you got one, Keith?
Well, of course, Booster Gold versus the Rainbow Rider.
Oh my god.
No, I'm gonna come
take,
out of left
okay, you take a shot forward. Every time gonna, Keith mentions Booster Gold, you will die alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna say one that may be quite surprising. I'm gonna say Wolverine Sabretooth.
No, that's actually I was talking to Brett earlier. I was like, I wonder what people will say if we put this up on Twitter. And that was one I said I think people would throw out there.
Well, and you know,
well, you're not even into those characters that much.
But. No, I'm not a big Wolverine fan, and yet you know when. And, you know, we normally only review number ones or specials for the show, but we picked that Wolverine 300.
Yeah.
at which, you know, was teasing the return of Sabretooth, and the, their two were in a fight, and I'm like, yeah, I'm exactly. in. Let's.
Well, how about that issue right before Age of Apocalypse, where it's just them fighting in the splash pages, and it was awesome. You're just like, wow, they're really they killed each other at the end. Why? Because it didn't matter, because it wasn't going to carry over, because they're rebooting into an alternate universe, and it's just this crazy fight. You just love it.
I forgot all about that.
That was awesome. Yeah. It had an awesome cover. Remember a fold-out cover and everything?
Fold-out cover, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Chris, you got one?
Yeah.
What?
X-Men 201, Storm versus Cyclops for the leadership of the X-Men. I've always wanted to see it redone. I've always wanted to see what would happen with her powers if she had her powers in that fight. I love that showdown. And, I mean, that was just a great issue. It was one of my favorite issues. I just want that to happen again.
You know, what's another one for me? Every single time, if they solicit another miniseries for it or a special, a one-shot, whatever, if they have Superman Doomsday again, I'm there. Every time. Every single time. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Any more for you guys?
There's the less kind of fighty ones, like, you know, Batman, Joker.
Sure. Well, I mean, anytime you get
somebody that's high... For me, it would probably be more Batman, not Two-Face.
But yeah.
Two-Face, yeah.
High in the rogues gallery kind of thing, then you automatically get that, you know, instant recognition, mm-hmm. and I think that really drives the comic book fans, you know, salivation glands kind of thing. Like,
ooh. How about any more hero versus heroes? Is there anything out there that you just go, oh, yeah, that's great every single time?
Daredevil Punisher.
Yeah, Daredevil Punisher is great.
Really well written in the Max books. Yeah. Because it went to much more pure versions of those characters.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the moral difference between those two characters and that they are, that they can't be okay with each other. They're just the way they see the world is completely incompatible.
Yeah. I mean, I've read some horrible, horrible Daredevil versus Punisher.
I have, and I will go back every time and try a new one.
That's the point.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love to see a Spider-Man Deadpool full issue, full blowout. Just them cracking each other up. Okay, but
that's a fantasy fight that you'd like to see. That's not really, you know, you'll come back to it even if you've read it 20 times.
Yes, but I haven't read it once.
I'm going to go with Punisher versus the Marvel Universe, which I think is, Space Punisher is probably like the fourth version of that.
Yeah.
And I like it every time.
I'm going to go with Gru versus anybody.
That's
what I want to read.
Gru versus the Mendicants.
Yeah,
Gru, Hulk versus Wolverine for some people would also be on that list. I mean, not so much for me, but I almost did it, Alpha. I almost did buy that Ultimate Hulk versus Wolverine because, right. Well, number one, I was amazed that it had all come out. I hadn't realized because it took like a year, those three issues. But I think Hulk versus Wolverine's one for me, too. I mean, that's where the first Wolverine was, right? I still remember that. So, one more one. Kind of based on what we were doing, then let's call it a night, but... because we were walking by and I saw you hold up this Keith holds up this action figure for who was it?
Warlord?
No. Deadshot?
Deadshot.
Yeah, Deadshot. He holds up this Deadshot one and I go, who would win a fight, Deadshot or Bullseye? So who would win a fight, Deadshot or Bullseye?
How do you confuse Deadshot and Warlord?
He picked it up earlier.
Because I was just thinking.
Keith was just touching stuff in the store.
That's right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Kind of like he does when he's at a strip club.
That's right. Only I drop
who
less
wins?
Money at the strip
Deadshot
club.
Deadshot or Bullseye? Who wins, Brett?
Deadshot or Bullseye?
Yeah.
Bullseye.
Keith?
Bullseye.
Bullseye.
Bullseye does win. So what's the other good ones?
The correct answer is Bullseye.
The correct answer? No, but who is, so what are some other ones that we have never seen that you'd like to see and who would win?
So
we got out there.
Like Marvel versus DC analogs?
No, like anybody versus anybody. It doesn't have to be, doesn't have to be. And maybe you saw it for like a panel or two and it never got resolved. For instance, I'd love to see Daredevil versus Iron Fist because I saw it for like, two panels in that there was a mini series they did where they were it was the Game Master against this is like in the early 80s I can't even remember the series.
Contest of Champions?
Contest of Champions. They had like a two-panel fight. And I'm like, I'd love to see that. So
I'd like to see Darkseid versus Thanos.
Yeah, who wins?
I'm going to go with Thanos.
Really?
Darkseid. He's got the Omega Beams.
Thanos. I mean, Thanos is just so freaking cool.
This is super tough. I agree. He's got the Omega Beams. I think pure power, probably a slight Darkseid edge. I think Thanos, though, is just trickier and craftier.
That's where I was thinking.
So I go Thanos.
Thanos has died like six times, and Darkseid's never died.
Yeah, but that's his goal. Wins when he dies.
Yeah.
There's the tagline to the Thanos movie right there. He only wins when he dies.
That is his goal.
That's right.
Yeah. So who else? Is there any other ones out there?
Dwayne Johnson, The Rock as Thanos.
Actually, yeah, he only wins when he
who
dies.
Who wins? Iron Fist, Daredevil. Chris.
I think the fight actually is Cage Daredevil, personally.
Really?
Oh yeah, Daredevil would kick Iron Fist, but I think Luke Cage Daredevil, you got something to watch there.
Really? What do you think there?
I think Daredevil wins by both of those fights.
Really? I think Iron Fist absolutely kicks Daredevil's ass.
I'm totally Daredevil. Like, really? I don't think Iron Fist stands a chance.
Dude, red suit always beats shorty pants and slippers.
I would argue that Iron Fist has a much better outfit. But Iron Fist has to stand around and really, really concentrate to make his power focus. And I can never really tell in the comics how long that took him.
It seems a lot faster now.
I used to see him like he really had to work at that.
Yeah.
And,
now he's Daredevil. It's not like once a day now anymore.
Yeah, I'm reading the Frank Miller Daredevils right now. And, he's in a panel three times in some panels because he just moves so fast.
Yeah.
The way that Klaus Janson wrote him. I drew him. So I'm going to go with Daredevil.
I think, though, that if you take the Matt Fraction Iron Fist, then there's no question that...
I would like to see Daredevil kick that guy's ass.
Well, then they're playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
They're not...
yeah, that's right.
But I'm going to give you one.
I'm pretty sure Howard the Duck could beat Iron Fist Matt Fraction.
Yeah.
See, Iron Fist has the advantage because Daredevil can't see a 3D game.
Okay, so let's go one more. Tim Drake, Red Robin, Dick Grayson, Nightwing. Brett, what do you? I'm going to throw it out there. I think Tim Drake wins.
Oh, I got Nightwing.
Nightwing.
Really?
Tim Drake, that's a battle I want to see.
That's a battle I'd love to see. I'd love to see that.
Tim Drake's a thinker.
Yeah.
He's a planner. Like I think he could outsmart him, but I think in a straight fight, it's going to be
straight skill. A straight skill, I think Grayson wins. But yeah, because I think he's a little bit. I agree. Again, craftier. At the end, I think Tim Drake finds a way to win. So, anyways, all right. So, guys, again, I'm Mo at We Talk Podcasts. Mo_WeTalk. No E on my name. MO. So, you guys have opinions on any of those? Catch me on Twitter or email. If you have any more thoughts, any ones you want us to talk about, you can hit me up. Brett, what are yours before we go OUT?
Well, you know, I did, before we go, I wanted to mention, because in light of no Wii views, I just wanted to mention that I read Sensational Spider-Man 33.1, and I thought that this was one of the worst comic books that I've ever read. And the primary reason is it's not just because I think Tom DeFalco's an average writer. I wanted to say that I hated it, because there was several times in the book where they felt the need to explain things that I thought did not need to be or would not be explained in that position. It's like a police officer going up to another police officer and saying, "We have a 10-15 in progress. By the way, that's a robbery."
I had that moment. I had the moment where a police officer used a short form. I don't know exactly
the
moment. And then they immediately tell you what the short form means.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of having
the short
an abbreviation?
Another halfway through the book, I was reading something else, and they just, it seems to me that they just stopped it, explained what they had talked about previously, And then moved on, and I was just sitting there thinking...
It reminded me of that line, there was a line from that David Lynch's character in Twin Peaks said, where he says, that's his M.O., modus operandi. See, it was exactly that kind of line of like, why did you use the short form to start with?
Yeah, it was just, I just thought the writing was so haphazard and horrible, and the story was just god-awful anyways, but, you know, that book right there totally made me want to go back and reread the Roger Stern one that had come the week before because appreciate that one it was now. So bad. But otherwise, Brett, that's Brett_WeTalk on Twitter, and I'm almost at 100 followers. I'm so excited.
And he will tweet you twice a year. Won't annoy you at all.
and Brett at WeTalkPodcast.com. Otherwise, moving on.
Keith. Yeah, if you're the type that unfollows people for over-tweeting, Brett is the guy to follow. he's like a celebrity that's handling their own Twitter.
That's right. Totally am.
I follow Bruce Boxleiter. He tweets once a day. He just says good morning. Which is, it's lovely, actually. I come in at like 9:30 or so. I see
it's like a Rooster.
Good morning. It's very nice. I think he responds to people directly, but that's basically all he tweets as general tweets. I am Keith at WeTalkPodcast.com. I am Cub Reporter K on Twitter, and we're going to tack just a couple of minutes on to the end of this episode with Tyler James. Comics Tribe has made their goal, has made every stretch goal. They've doubled their goal. They've made every stretch goal. They've made their 20K goal, which greenlights Oxymoron 2 for 2013, and they have one last goal to hit, which is their super stretch goal of 25 grand. By the time you hear this episode, the Kickstarter will have closed up. They will be distributing Oxymoron through comic stores through Diamond as well. So there'll be, if you made the mistake of not supporting Oxymoron, then you'll have another opportunity.
Chris, I'm Chris at WeTalk Podcast, Chris_WeTalk on Twitter, and I have to say, Brett, Red Sonja was a much worse comic class this week than a Sensational Spider-Man.
That was...
it was horrible. I'll give you that.
That was a Dynamite comic that my number one complaint would be that Red Sonja's breasts were incredibly small.
Wow!
And I can't... I thought Red Sonja and Dynamite. Well, I know one thing, and yeah. I was not right.
You know, the first 10 pages, I thought that I was actually thinking that it was okay. And then they started putting in words.
You know, it's disappointing for me to think that Red Sonja would have smaller breasts than me. But also, while we're at it, congratulations, like you say, to Tyler James and Comics Tribe. Congratulations to Joe Martino as well for getting funded on Mighty Titan. So we are now officially OUT.
Okay, thanks to the magic of radio, we are talking to Tyler James with 2 days to go in the Oxymoron Kickstarter campaign. By the time you hear this, the campaign will have just about wrapped up. So Tyler, you've got 49 hours to go as we record this. Where are we at?
Where we're at? Well, right now we're sitting at 21,081 dollars. Wow, that no wait, I think we're more than that. I think we just got another pledge. Yeah, $21,126, which it's pretty ridiculous to say. My fiance, she's like, I'll believe it when I see it. I think she's convinced at least 75% of all backers are going to pull their money out at the end of, like before the campaign ends. So she's not a believer yet, but even though she's in for $25. So maybe she's just planning on withdrawing her money, which I would not be surprised of. But so the campaign's gone good. We're closing in on 250% funding. We've basically blasted through all the stretch goals that we were hoping to get. So, you know, the book has gone from a standard size to oversized. We've just added 12 more pages to it so that we can have a full cover gallery of variants that we were able to add. Up to 10 variant covers, and we've revealed 9 of them. We'll reveal the last one pretty shortly. Been able to add spot UV coating to give the standard cover a nice sheen, and so yeah, I mean it's exceeded all expectations, and really you know, really been awesome. And, you know, so again, the We Talk Comics bump, it's a real deal. You guys were in there, you know, in just a two and a half, 3 weeks since we talked last, we've done a lot. So it's awesome.
It's been quite a ride. Now you've hit the 20,000 mark. That was the stretch goal that would give the green light to, volume two. Now you were talking today about, what you're doing for volume two as far as, who gets to pitch stories to you.
Right. So that was one of the cool, incentives that, I don't think I had it originally planned, but what I was finding is that a big percentage of people that are backing the Oxymoron campaign and are backing the book and are getting the book are people with either that are already pros or working their way up the indie ranks, or people that have aspirations to do so. You know, I've been getting a lot of people that are you know, familiar faces from Comics Tribe and other communities that are really interested in making comics. So I decided that the next book, if we do a next book and you know, hitting our milestone is going to give me some additional startup capital to make sure that happens. But so we are going to do a next book and, you know, you can't do a number two without it being bigger, badder and better. So, that means more people involved, and I thought that it would be fun to open up and open up the pitch process to people that have backed this campaign. And I thought that would be a nice incentive to help push us to 20K. But also, you know, these guys that are backing us have been awesome, and I would love to, you know, give a few opportunities out there to some of these folks that are putting in the time, putting in the effort, working on their skills, working on their craft. And hopefully, you know, something really cool will come out of it. So that's what we're hoping there. You know, obviously with 364 backers now, that would be one massive tome if everybody could just get a story in. And, you know, we're obviously going to have to keep the quality level and make sure the book works and everything. And so, you know, not everybody will be able to be in the book ultimately. So, you know, pledging doesn't guarantee you a spot, but it will get you on the invite list. And, you know, for people that are interested in pitching an idea and jumping through a few hoops that are required so that, you know, I know that they're serious and willing to, you know, go through the Comics Tribe rigor of multiple revisions and to make sure that it's the best script that they can get it to, or artists as well, if there are artists out there, you know, if they can get up to the bar that we've set with volume one, hey, it'll be fun to work with them.
A lot of one-pagers coming up. Do the 2-minute mystery or Wednesday comics one pagers?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. I tweeted and I posted in the last update, you know, one sentence on what the new the second volume will be about. And really, what I'm trying to do is open it up so that it will allow for the oxymoron to work in pretty much any situation, any setting. As I said in it, he will abduct a foul-mouthed chrono fairy, who is sort of think of it like a foul-mouthed Tinkerbell who has the power to travel through time and space. So he abducts her because he's got a list, you see, of all the great rights in a past, present, and future that he wants to make wrong. And so it's going to give a chance, you know, oxymoron in pretty much any setting, historical, fanciful, past, present, future, our universe or bizarre universes. I feel like it's open enough to invite a lot of interesting, cool, just zany, good pitches, that will be varied, and make for a great collection like this. And at the same time, I'll also try to have, you know, more structure so that the arc of and the relationship of Oxy and his little, you know, unwilling accomplice can sort of develop throughout an arc, and so there will be a real beginning, middle, and end to the story itself. So I can't really think. That's all I'm going to think about for that one, because I need to get this book out the door. My vacation is scheduled for August 20th, so I need to get this to the printer before then. And so yeah, so the next 2 weeks, 1 week and a half, et cetera, even when the campaign ends, I'm going to be very busy, you know, getting these files finished and formatted, but it's getting me really excited, just to see this book come together. The guys did a hell of a job, and it's going to be, you know, the collection it's going to be better than I could have hoped for. So it's exciting.
Fantastic. Well, we just wanted to check in with you, say congratulations. It's been a really successful Kickstarter campaign. By the time people hear this, the campaign will have, as I said, just be closing. And hopefully we'll get to that $25,000 mystery unlock that is the next one, the next rung. And
yeah, I mean, I'll let you guys know what it is, because it will be announced by then. What I want to do at 25K is I'm calling it Operation Editor Drop. I'm going to talk to all the artists and writers that are involved in this, have big aspirations in comics and a lot of talent, and I think these guys are going to go far. But what I think the Oxymoron book is going to give them is just a really great calling card for everybody. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a list of everybody's favorite editors from all the major comic companies, and I'm going to send them copies. And so, you know, we'll get a big list to make sure as many editors get their hands on this book as possible, and hopefully, you know, get some people some additional work. Obviously at Comics Tribe, we're small but growing, but still small. and so, you know, we only have so much work to throw at these guys, but I know I'll be working with a lot of them again. But, you know, for the guy that wants to write Batman or, has a creator owned that they want to get on the radar of, people that can make that stuff happen, I want to help them out with that. So, you know, in addition to just, you know, everybody on the team, you know, getting more out of the campaign by doing better. I think that's another way that we can really, support those guys. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. And then, once one of them gets signed on to Batman, all of our hardcovers will be worth a fortune on eBay, and everybody wins.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, that's the game plan for you, for the people that I've already had a couple people that I'm like, you plan on turning this around pretty quickly, aren't you? But hey, you know, they allowed me to make a book that is going to be awesome. So, you know, do whatever you want with it. You want to put it right on eBay. Hey, I will, maybe I'll even buy it back.
Well, congratulations again, Tyler. We'll talk to you closer to the time that the book is coming out, and, best of luck when Oxymoron 2 hits your radar.
All right. Great, Keith. And also, big scam news coming on Friday. So, keep your eyes peeled for it. It's going to be fun.
Fantastic.
Comics Tribe is trying to own the media cycle this week.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right, man. Take care.